Express yourself.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Talkline to the YK Delta and beyond. This is Diane McGachran, and Peter Atchuk is not with us this morning, so we have roped in Grady. Good morning, Grady.
I'm too willing to do this kind of thing. I love my big ham.
I know. He likes to jump in. So now it'll be two Gussucks today. We'll be taking your calls, and you can call us. You can email us, you can be anonymous and share whatever happens to be on your mind. And we have our first caller already. It's John Nick. Good morning, John. How are you?
Morning, Dan. Good. What about you and Peter?
Well, Peter's not in today. Grady. Oh, Grady is with us.
Oh, okay. You guys handle it well.
Good. Yeah, we're going to handle it. What's on? What's up?
You know, a friend of mine, we were listening to the radio when was a couple of days ago.
Uh-huh.
Guess what they're offering to go vote? A $10,000 voting payment.
Wait, I don't understand.
Well, if you go vote early, you put your name under registration, you're eligible to win $10,000.
Oh, is this the state? The November?
No, it's Chilista.
Oh, it's Chilista. Oh, then, that's right.
And then $10,000. Why are they offering so much money just to go vote? I don't understand that. They should be putting that money aside for the shareholders, because we get a small dividend anyway. They should be putting that aside. I don't see why you have to have money to go entice voters to come and vote. Mm-hmm. If the city council did that, everybody would vote.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. I don't understand their philosophy. It's why offer money to go vote is my question, and vast amounts of money, you know.
Maybe they have low
Maybe
voter
no,
turnout.
No, it's some way they want to control your voter. They want you to come and vote. We should be able to come and vote freely as we choose, not to be paid for it. Why don't they just pay each of us voters $100 to go vote? You know, that'd make more sense.
Oh, I see. You mean give them just cash in hand.
Shareholders.
Yes,
who vote, you
yes.
get $100.
Okay. I don't know if you're allowed to do that.
Well, why'd they allow a $10,000 amount of money just for one person to go vote? You know?
Mm-hmm.
We need to get out of that system.
Mm.
When the voting system comes up, we need to re-elect these board members
mm-hmm.
and have the board members run at large, where you can run under any unit you want. Right now, we're locked in there under nepotism issues, because each of these people that come in the units, they're from that village, and it's always run on nepotism, the election. That's why we're stuck in this bind. Every year after year, you see the same candidates over and over again, yet they win again. Maybe one or two, and then the rest, they're locked in there. And then they have the terms. When you're reelected again, they give you a term. What's the matter? I don't understand their philosophy on the term. They don't even follow the rules or regulations on that.
Mm-hmm.
Like John Acker, when he was alive, said, yeah, they run for eons and eons. We need to get out of that system where we can have different ideas for different regions. Instead of running on the ilok, my buddy system, my cousin system, we ain't going to get nowhere. You're going to be locked in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say about that. And, you know, that's no good.
Yeah.
That makes it a corrupt system.
Mm.
And enough of this corruption, that's what I'm going to call that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I put in my bullet points, and I need to let that out, because it doesn't bother me. And it shouldn't be that way, you know.
Well, I'm glad you've let it out.
And everyone, please wear your... And thank you. Please wear your life jacket and don't drink and drive.
Mm-hmm.
I hope everyone has good fishing when they open up again.
Yeah, which is tomorrow.
Yeah, they ought to open up. They ought to make the mess a little larger, I think, dude. Letting all the adult salmon go up and letting the jack salmon don't even have a chance to spawn. Most people I've seen catch are jack salmon.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, 3 feet or a little more. So anyway, I better let you go. My time is almost up.
Okay.
So
no,
everybody,
yeah.
Please have a good day and wear your life jacket. Please don't drink and drive. Watch out for pedestrians. And have a safe day.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You for calling, John.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Next, we have George from Bethel. Good morning, George. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning. I just want David Christensen. If you have your ears on, call me at 545-3490. Dave Christensen, this is a matter of principle. Thank you. Have a good day.
Oh, okay. A principled call request to Dave Christensen.
Interesting.
You wonder what that is. All right, so let me give out the numbers real quick. Or Grady, why don't you give out the numbers, because I'm looking for something here.
People can call in at 543-5985. 543-2756 or toll free 1-800-995-8954. And of course, people can also email us at radio@kyuk.org. We're monitoring that during the show.
And you can remain anonymous. And we also have some Tundra drums announcements. And our lines are open now, so it's a good time to jump in. A lot of times the lines get really crowded, so if you want to call in or email, you can. One reminder for, let's see, okay, this afternoon.
Yeah, this afternoon.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
From
the Elder Awareness Walk.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I heard
stuff happening.
That she sounded loud over there. Okay, sorry, everyone. Yeah, so this afternoon, late this morning at 11:45, there will be an Elder Abuse Awareness Walk. It begins at 11:45. Please arrive at 11:30. But it does not say where.
But I know where.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be leaving from the Bethel Lions Club, and I believe that it walks to YKHC from there. It's just a short walk from the Lions Club to the hospital.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but that's why my memory serves me right. We did have a guest in the other day when I called in sick, but a guest came in and talked to Petra the other day.
Okay,
but
good.
We do have a caller.
Yeah, we have a caller. Sorry about that. It's Lisa Murkowski. Good morning.
Thanks.
Welcome to Talkline. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Good to be with you this afternoon. Hope all is well out in the region, and things are looking good for summer with fishing coming on. And all that people are getting prepared to do. I understand you had your first subsistence fishing opportunity.
Earlier this week, and then tomorrow
again.
It would
be nice to have that first fresh fish.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You got another one coming too?
Oh, yes. Tomorrow from 10 to 10. 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Good.
Yeah. And we've had wonderful weather, so it's a good time.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wish I were up there. I'm back in Washington, D.C., where we're working back here. It's a busy summer, but I wanted to take just a moment and let your callers know some of the things that we did this week within our appropriations bills to help out in rural Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
On the healthcare side, on the water and sewer side, what we've been doing. So I thought if I could just kind of give you a little bit of an update.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I'm the chairman of the Interior Committee, and this committee has oversight of many of the things that have impact on so many out in rural Alaska. We have oversight of the IHS, the Indian Health Service, the BIA, Park Service, the EPA. So a lot of the work that we do has a very direct impact on rural Alaskan communities.
Mm.
One of the things that we were focusing on within IHS was making sure that there was going to be additional funding for our village-built clinics. As we know, in many areas, these healthcare clinics are the only health facility in the region. So making sure that they have sufficient funding is important. We increased the funding for what they call small ambulatory clinics. And this is going to be important to some of the communities. We've got Shishmaref, Nanilchik, Kaniganak, Tok, Tetitlik. So these are, again, programs that are going to be helping people out in the region. We have focused very directly on dealing with the issue of alcohol and substance abuse, as well as fighting opioids. We know that in far too many of our communities and far too many of our villages, what we're seeing with substance abuse is just devastating. And so making sure that we are providing funding for some of the prevention programs to focus on tribal youth, the incorporation of more holistic healthcare models. So we increased funding within IHS to deal with that. There's a lot of focus on opioids, but I think we know that in far too many of our communities, alcohol is the drug of choice that is just continues to cause such devastation. So we want to put an emphasis on fighting opioids, and we do that. We have a new grant program through IHS, which gives money to help the tribes deal with the opioid abuse and the addiction. But again, it's more than opioids. It is alcohol. It is methamphetamines, and so working to address that has got to be a priority for us. On other areas that we have focused on, behavioral health continues to be such a struggle for us because we simply don't have sufficient resources to provide for the behavioral health and mental health needs. And so we increase funding in that category as well. We have we direct resources to what we call the Zero Suicide Initiative through IHS. We've got domestic violence prevention initiatives, and making sure that we're doing more within this area to make sure that women and families are safe in their homes, in their communities. On the water and sewer side, we have, we've got the oversight of the EPA budget, and so making sure that we are focusing on getting safe water into so many of our communities has been a priority. So we've got a new program for drinking water and wastewater systems to build those out or improve existing systems, and we combine that with other existing programs in the water and sewer accounts, and again, wanted to make sure that people know we are prioritizing that as well. So there's a lot that is contained in this measure. It moved out of the Appropriations Committee unanimously, which is a historic event in and of itself. We don't this bill has typically been a more controversial bill, but we agreed that it was important to find the areas of consensus and build a consensus bill that will allow us to not only move it through the committee, but move it to the floor so that that it can be fully processed. And that has been my goal there. So I'm pleased with what we have done with it. We'll move forward in probably the next couple weeks or so, hopefully get that to the floor. So important to just kind of let folks know what we've been working on and how we've been working to make sure that, again, whether it is the land we're talking about, the water and the air, or the people, that with these budgets that we've been focused on, we're keeping rural Alaskans and their priorities in mind.
Oh, thank you. And if this is a too long of a question, it's okay. And but I'm wondering, as it passes through the appropriations like it did, then how does it trickle? Let's say you got your wish and the whole thing passed. How would it trickle through to a village in Alaska, in the YK Delta, for example?
Well, it's a great example. And some of the some of the things are very direct. For instance, I mentioned village-built clinics and like, for instance, the small ambulatory clinics. It directs additional funding so that those programs or those clinics that we have around Alaska actually will see more dollars to do the work that they're required to do in that region. So in some ways, it will just be more funds that will come to either run the clinics or administer the programs. In some areas, like, for instance, I mentioned the water and sewer grants, it means that there will be more grants and probably more funding, more dollars available in those grants to help build out some of these water and wastewater systems that will be administered through either funding at the federal, the state, and working with the local communities and tribes as well.
Mm-hmm.
So some of it will be new programs that we haven't seen before, and others will be existing. An example of an existing program that we got funding for a couple years ago, and we're continuing to build out on the funding, is for tribal courts. We've had tribal courts in Alaska for a long time, but we've never had any federal dollars for the tribal courts. A couple years ago, I was successful in getting states like Alaska that are called PL-280 states eligible for these funding. So now we have funding that allows for training of our tribal court judges, that allows for resourcing on the administrative side. So you will see more funding be made available to programs to the tribes within the regions for tribal court. So it is, if this goes as I hope and it's signed into law, primarily what people will see are more resources that are able to come to the communities, whether on through the IHS system and through healthcare, whether it is through the administration of public lands through the agencies, or again through the EPA and access to greater resources for water and sewer infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you. That I'm so glad that you called in, and it's good to hear. Those are such key areas for rural Alaska, really important.
Well, they are key areas, and one of the things that I will just kind of add on in terms of those resource dollars that will be made available. It's one thing to be able to build something like a water and sewer system. It's something else again to be able to provide funding so that our village built clinics don't degrade, that they're well maintained and they're well resourced. But we know that, again, oftentimes some of the issues that we deal with within our communities, whether it's domestic violence, sexual assault, youth suicide, the issues are not, they're not, it's not easy to address, and dollars don't have the magic cure-all, but with the opportunity to gain access to programs,
mm-hmm.
To gain access to mental health professionals, to allow communities to come together to create their own programs that are culturally sensitive, that will work, not something that is a program that was designed and drafted in an urban center like Washington, D.C., and say, okay, if you want a mental health program, this is what it looks like. Allow us that flexibility to build these solutions ourselves. Allow them to work from the ground up. But you need to have resources for that, and that's that's what we are trying to do. So not necessarily a physical structure that you would see or physical infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
but assistance for programs that will help us deal with some of these very, very, very difficult issues that we're facing.
You know, that's I think it's so important what you're saying about the money is important, but it also is important like how the money gets spent. So community-based programming, and there's some great initiatives like in the YK Delta, for example, that are community-based, developed, designed, and implemented through the community, and they're really important, these kind of programs. Mm-hmm. And they're outside of sort of traditional like Medicaid billable kinds of activities, but are showing themselves to be really important. So it's really nice to hear the way
so
you frame
the
that.
The Tewahee initiative that is there mm-hmm. in the Bethel region, that is really the pilot, if you will, for a community-based
mm-hmm.
Approach that is not just kind of a single target. There's only one means to address the issue here, and that is something that again others around the country are looking to what is being built out with the Tewahee initiative to see that level of success and see if it can be replicated elsewhere. So it's just a reminder that given the resources and then the flexibility to build this so that it meets the very local or regional needs, this is how we spend our dollars smartly.
Thank you. Well, it's wonderful that you called, and I hope you'll call in again in the future with some updates just like this. I'm going to ask if you could stay on the line. Our producer in the booth there wants to run something by you, and we'll move on to our other callers. Really grateful. Thank you for calling.
Well, I appreciate that, and let me also take the moment to acknowledge the passing of John Active. We know that John was so much a presence in the lives of so many, not only in the region but beyond. And we know that you all are still thinking of him mm-hmm. and grieving that loss. So he is missed, as you know.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. We're going to move on to another call, and Lisa will stay on the line, and Petra will talk to you in a minute. And Ayaprun is on the line from Bethel. Good morning.
Good morning. I was listening to Lisa, and I happen to have like a topic almost the same as hers, except you know, it's all about getting the tradition back, and this has to do with the Yupik language and where all the grants are going and what is offered by the state. I think that the outlying villages should take an advantage of that and make like activities or something that has to do with learning the Yupik or Chupik or whatever languages that there is in Alaska, and keep the children busy like during the summer or all throughout the winter, so that they could stay out of trouble and they would have something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like many ways you could use the grants. Like, for instance, say you want to sit down with the elder for 2 hours a day or something, or you want to go out and, you know, go out and look for natural medicine. you could use it that way, or there's some, you know, all sorts of avenues you could use to write up a grant under, I think it's trying to preserve the Yupik culture or the cultural language.
Mm-hmm.
So just wanted to go on the phone on your show and present that, and I just happened to be right after Lisa.
I know, back to back. Well, you're describing the kind of community-based program that's culturally, that has a cultural foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she was talking about in terms of the way funding gets distributed in the future. Hopefully, if the bill that she's working on or the appropriations budget that she's working on.
Yes, and there's like the funds for the state. I mean, like they have cutbacks and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I would jump on this if I was like a social worker or a person that works for social services out in the villages to, you know, do something for the children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh. Yeah, well, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
It's interesting about grants. Someone's got to ask for them, too, though. You know, someone's got to ask for that money. You
know, I know.
When
well,
the
no,
money's available, it's hard to steer. You know, we got someone on the line who's good at doing that, though.
Oh, Renee Athanas. Good morning, Renee. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning.
Okay, before you begin, I just want to say the dumpsters are spectacular this year. The
aren't
Picasso.
They?
Now, minus the couches that got put into them, people... They're not ready for trash yet, so hang on. But they are beautiful. Thank you for that. The
yeah,
kids,
well,
too.
That comes from a collaboration between Aaron and Arno, Katie Wilkins, Laura Ellsworth, and myself. We sat down and really worked this year on trying to include some art history, some involvement, so that they would know something about some artists as well as learning techniques. So,
nice.
Katie's in charge of the dumpsters, and they are gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to thank NAPA for allowing us to take one of their dumpster, and painting it, because the city just didn't, their new dumpsters come in after the camp. So they didn't have any to give us, and so we kind of looked around and asked NAPA, and we asked LKSD, so LKSD gave us three too. So they're going to go back to the schools.
Oh, you mean the dumpster, the city can't just go around and collect some of their dumpsters?
Neighborhoods get pretty upset if all of a sudden their dumpster's gone.
Oh, that's true. Okay, sorry. Sorry, neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
So the city has, you know, to balance that, and mm-hmm. The city's done... worked hard with us to try to make sure that we got dumpsters, and we truly appreciate that. And so next year we're gonna work on. Well, hopefully there'll be some new ones they'll let us paint up for next summer.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, thanks to the city, thanks to all of the people that have helped with it, and all the artists who have painted it. So that takes care of one thing I needed to talk about. And the next one is we have two more weeks this summer art camps. The next 2 weeks are native art camps. We're going to have Marie Alfred doing story knives, and Corbett, doing sewing projects. So if you want, and those are free this time because we have sponsorship from a grant that's paying for the kids' tuition on that. So we don't have a lot of slots left, so you need to get a hold of Laura, and I'll give that number in a minute. So Marie and Nikki do the first week. The second week is Ryan Romer and Jimmy Reardon. They're going to be doing T-shirts, printmaking on T-shirts, so kids will design their own with a Yupik flair designs.
Nice.
And then print them on T-shirts. So that's for the second week. We're taking 9 through 16-year-olds. And if you want to sign up for next week or the week after, please get a hold of Laura at 543-4515. So that takes care of those. Following that, Nikki Nick's also going to be doing, not Nick, sorry, a Cusbook class for adults. That does cost, but the materials will be included. So call Laura.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, I've got a couple of different things. Saturday market tomorrow.
Yes.
We will have, I hope, a good turnout. I heard it might be a little rainy, so come in and have some soup or something to warm up from the rain. So that starts 8:30, doors open for vendors. 10 to 2 for the public. We won't have another one in two until July. I've cut back summer ones, so they're only one a month.
Mm.
So don't miss the chance to come to the June one.
Renee.
Yes.
I'm going to put a lot of books out today. A lot of books. So it's going to be a big book sale.
I know. You know what else I'm going to do, Grady?
Hmm.
I'm going to offload all of my art books that I've collected since I moved here in 73.
Uh-oh.
So you are going to have a lot of art books.
Well, you just said that on the air, so I'm not going to get to hoard them personally, obviously.
Right. I know who dropped off a lot of books recently. There'll be a lot of literature books.
Mm. Yeah,
really some good books. I know the person who dropped them off, and they're going to be good. So
bottom shelf of the free shelf right now has some good literature on there, by the way.
Yeah, stop by and get some books, because I know Grady is a hoarder when it comes to books, so he's got a bunch.
I pulled them aside so that we could have a really good sale, too. So there's a lot of really good stuff, good titles to select from, especially the bestseller fiction novels. Anyway, I won't go on and on. There's going to be good books out there.
Excellent.
All right. The other thing I want to update everyone on is the Steel Salmon and Ravens are done. Shorty got them to me, so I've got four different styles. If you have a good idea and you want to decorate one for the upcoming Steel Salmon and Raven auction, which will be the end of September, you have plenty of time this summer to do all your creativity on these. We will have a sign-up sheet for you to get one at the market. I also want to announce that the Taste of Bethel is going to be happening, and we're taking only 18 chefs, and priority given to last year's chefs. If they stop by and sign up, they will be first, and then new chefs will be able to get on. And if you remember last year, what we did is we sold tickets at the front when you came in, and you have a menu. And then you get to take the ticket to any of the 18 chefs and try their cultural cuisines. It's celebrating diversity. So you might have Greek food, you might have Israeli food, you might have Thai food, you might have Yubik food, you might have Polish food. You get to try a little taste of all of these different cultures that are here in Bethel and celebrate our diversity, because we are a wonderfully diverse community. And so that's going to happen on August 18th. It's a Saturday. So chefs, if you're interested, then the chefs get the money, by the way. The money that comes in goes right back to the chefs. The Cultural Center does not make any money on this. It's part of our mission to make this a cultural center for the community of Bethel. And this is one of the things that we chose to do.
Mm.
So come see me if you're interested in being a part of that. And the last thing I'm going to mention.
Okay, you got to zip through it.
I know.
Go ahead.
The last thing I'm going to mention is Bethel Fair. Yes, we are having
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
We are.
I've been waiting for
start
this answer.
Start making your artwork, start doing your jellies, jams.
Okay.
And that is September 6th through the 9th. And I know that, Grady, you have more worth Rhonda and you about that. So those are the dates we have. Mark it on your calendar. And information, you can get a hold of me.
I hereby, at what?
543-45. No,
3-8. Okay, 3-8. Okay. I hereby volunteer to be the pie judge. And that's it. My name is out. I've said it first. I am the pie. I want to be one of the pie judges.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. Anyone who has any questions about any of this, stop by the Cultural Center or give me a call.
Okay. Thank you, Renee. What a great lineup.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we're going to go right to Tom from Chelista. Good morning, Tom. Welcome to Talk Line.
Thank you. Good morning. It's good to be back. How are you two doing?
Good, good. And, you know, we had a caller earlier today asking about the $10,000 raffle for voting. Did you hear that call?
Yes.
Oh.
No, I didn't hear the call, but I was actually going to give an update about that.
Okay. Well, I will say, just to be fair, that this caller didn't like that idea, didn't feel like people should have to be,
incentivized
to vote. But that's okay, because I would put my name in if I could. So go ahead and update us on that.
Absolutely. Well, I do want to make sure that we address that question concern. You know, Chulista Corporation and I think every other Alaska Native corporation has had prizes, cash prizes or other kind of prizes, to incentivize shareholders to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two main reasons. One is that, you know, voting isn't normally a part of our culture. It's, you know, I think it's still kind of a new process for us culturally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the voting rates for, be it for Chulista or state elections, federal elections, are still pretty low in rural Alaska. But as Alaska Native corporations, we can offer prizes to encourage shareholders to vote. The other part of it is that for all of our history, all the annual meetings, on average, less than 51% of shareholders vote.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the most powerful thing that we can do as a shareholder. You know, back in, even through 2012, the Chulista board used to be able to take unused votes, under-counter votes or directed votes, and give them to whatever directors they wanted, whatever candidates they wanted. But starting in 2013, the board made a change that it's only the shareholders' votes that count.
Okay.
So this really is the most powerful way for shareholders to decide who is going to be a director and if a resolution passes or fails.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the reason why I'm calling, a couple days ago, we announced the Shareholder Award winners. These are the recipients that were nominated by shareholders and descendants earlier this year. And then back in April, the board selected the Shareholder Award winners. Now, we announced last month that the late John Active was the Distinguished Shareholder of the Year. He was in the hospital when KYUK had their special show, so we wanted to get that news out right away.
Mm.
But the other winners, the Shareholder Award winners, they're on our website, chulistacorp.com, our Facebook page, Chulista Corporation. But the Youth Educator of the Year is Mike Olrun from CHEVAC. The Elder of the Year is Jenny Carr from Sleep Mute. The Culture Bearer of the Year is Lisa Phillips from Laura Kalskag. And then the Business of the Year is Delta Discovery from Bethel.
Oh, okay. Good. Thank you.
Yeah. So with the voting, the next deadline for the annual meeting, the next deadline is Monday at 5 p.m. So please make sure you vote at chulistavote.com. Please vote for the directors that you choose for, yes or no on the resolution, but please vote. The top prize is $10,000. We're not spending any more money than we have in the past. We're just change the prize amount. So we're not doing any extra money. It's the same prize total that we've had the last several years.
Okay. Oh, okay. Sorry, I was looking at a text that came in. So okay, well, that's I'm glad. Yeah, so get out and vote and get a chance to be in the raffle, and thank you for calling, Tom.
Yes, please. All right, take care.
All right, bye. All right, we have an email that I think Petra's going to read for us. Yeah.
Anonymous email. Why do we need the government's help with preserving our native languages? If we just listen to our elders and speak to our children in our own language at home, we don't need help. We wouldn't need help. As we all know, parents are the first teachers to our kids. There would be more funds for social services, like suicide prevention and other services we demand. Anonymous.
Oh, okay. So this probably is someone who feels that these are things that should come from the home. And but, you know, schools have students for 7 hours a day. That's a big chunk of time. And so I think it's probably good to have some representation of the culture, the surrounding culture in the school. Anyway, the lines are open, and you're welcome to call in. We had a couple of longer calls than usually, but... okay, Grady's going to talk about the 4th of July because that's really a great time in the region, and I mean, not in the some if people come in, but in the certainly in Bethel.
And people might come in for it. I'm sure that I'm sure the Pinkies Park celebration is a place to be on July 4th. Now it's about 2 weeks away now, right? We're about 2 weeks and a half away from that.
Oh my gosh!
Today.
Oh,
it's going to sneak up on us, and we're already.
Wait, I thought you were talking about the 4th of July.
I am. It's 2 weeks away from now.
The no, the July 4th is July.
Two weeks away from now. No?
Okay, maybe it is.
Yeah. So we got about 2.5 weeks before, and I'm the one who's organizing the music acts, and I don't have anybody on the list yet. And 4-H Rhonda Sargent is organizing the parade floats. And then, of course, there's Anna Nikolai at the city who is organizing the vendors. So if you're a vendor or if you're a artist or musician or if you want to be in that parade, it's now's the time to start signing up for those things. Mm-hmm. I'm making the pitch for the artists to get in touch with me for the lineup for the music acts or anyone who wants to host games among the kids or other community members. Contact me at the library in person, or you can email me here at the radio station, Grady@kyuk.org. And of course, you can call me at 543-4548, but there's a caller in, so I won't monopolize the airwaves.
I know what it is. I can't believe that 4th of July is 2.5 weeks away. I guess I'm still thinking it's the first week in June.
You're where I was yesterday when I sat down with Rhonda to plan this, and I'm like, oh my goodness, just like everything else, it's 2 weeks away again. Another thing, 2 weeks away.
Yeah, here we go. All right, so we have Danielle Craven, who wants to speak about Donlin Gold. Good morning, Danielle. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning, Diane. Good morning, Petra. I just wanted to share some of my thoughts on the Donlin Gold mine. I know hasn't been too much on today's show, but I wanted to bring up my concern. Mm-hmm. I was just enjoying the fishing opening on this week and enjoying seeing so many people on the river, and it got me thinking about the importance of this development in our voice to speak out. I am opposed to the mine, and I oppose the development of this mine. There's many risks associated with the EIS to the environment, to the barge traffic, to the fish that are spawning. I attended the meeting a couple weeks back with Dave Cannon, a biologist who's done some research and has closely read the EIS, and two things that really stuck out to me were concerning the smelt spawning and the barge traffic, and also the chum spawning up at Crooked Creek. I was really just struck by it because I hadn't thought of that directly being affected, but it made me think about the fish, and Donlin Gold is not worth the money. I think our fish and our way of life out here is important for us to preserve and protect. And I just wanted to share with others that maybe are out there who want to join and begin talking about these risks and talking about the concerns we have together. There's a group of us who are working to build up this opposition to the mine locally here in Bethel and around the region. For those of you in the villages who are looking for ways to join efforts, feel free to contact me. You can contact me, find me on Facebook. There's also a No Donlin Facebook page that's been pushing out really good information. And we're hoping to put out a table at the 4th of July here in Bethel, sharing information about the environmental risks and building up a voice among those of us who are really concerned about this mine and how it will affect our way of life and our river, water and land. So I just wanted to share that. And
yeah. Well, thank you for calling in about that. And one thing I wanted to ask you about then was to be clear about that barge, the barge traffic and the prop wash and how that could affect the prop wash disturbing the smelt spawning area where the eggs are. It could disrupt the eggs and so that the smelts that go up to spawn lay their eggs, and then when the barge comes up, and there'll be multiple barges a day, the prop wash will disturb those beds and kind of wipe some of those spawning areas out.
Yeah.
Right?
Obviously, we have so much traffic on the river with barges, you know, bringing freight and equipment and gas mm-hmm. and food. And the amount of barge traffic that DIS presented was up to 25 barges, and that's a lot of barges.
Per day?
Per day or per week, but it's a large number. I remember reading it and being really alarmed. But the smelt, I know there's that area where they disappear, but from Kalskag up, but it's just their spawning is so important, and they're connected to our fish. We always mm-hmm. have grown to know that when the smelt come, then the kings come,
mm-hmm.
and they
mm-hmm.
follow. Everything is connected.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to also share that, you know, I know if you missed the commenting, those of you who are writers, right now the state's in the process of permitting all of these Donlin Gold permits. And right now there's an important deadline coming up July 13th to send comments in regarding the water quality permit. And this is specifically the state's permitting Donlin Gold on their water drainage, and if it meets the Clean Water Act. And if you read this drainage and this filtration system from the effluent, all the stuff that's involved in the EIS or went to the meeting here in Bethel, it's really scary about what's going to be discharged and then what's going to just sit there for, you know, it's a 25-year mine, so what could potentially sit there and leak. And 4,500 gallons a minute of this discharge that's been filtered, it just scares me what could be in there.
Mm-hmm.
But... you know, they assure us that it wouldn't damage any of the waterways. However, every other mines in our area, the Red Devil and the Platinum Mine and these mines that Barrick has operated throughout the world, have had effects
yes.
for every downstream waterway. So the comment period is July 13th. You can send comments into regarding the water quality certification to the DEC. And if you want their email, it's DEC-401cert@alaska.gov. It's an open comment period right now. They just permitted already, just recently last month, they permitted the discharge, the water discharge, which was surprising that they had let that go. And I was really alarmed about it.
We have a time limit on all the callers, which I haven't kept to today, so I'm letting you go a little bit longer too. But
thank you so much for the opportunity.
I'm glad you called. Thank you.
Okay. No Donlin Gold. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Danielle. Okay. All right. So we have Mary from Bethel. Good morning, Mary. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. As I was trying to cook me something to eat my medicine with, I was listening to the talk show. And there are some things that some callers pointed out that I don't agree with. One female callers asked that some agencies do paid agencies do activities that involve talking in the native languages.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever agree with that because We do those things already without having to pay anyone whenever we do a subsistence activity, that's what we do. And another thing I wanted to point out, because where I come from, we speak both Tupic and English. Is that we already don't do things on our own. And because, you know, like, to do that is a waste of money. That money could be used for something else. And it's not like back in 1994, whenever Chirac people had come to Basel, and I was working for the hospital, me and my friends would be talking in English and in Tupi. And everyone used to tell us, Yuchtun, Yuchtun. And now it's like the people who were saying that, they just, either they pretend not to understand Yupik, or they want somebody else to teach it to them. I mean, like, if you're a native person, you should be able to speak your language and plus others. And then the Trilista, Mr. Leonard, a number of times I've stated that I don't agree with bribing people to come to meetings with prizes.
Okay.
That's why, like, a lot of people don't come. If you're going to be donating money, don't just do it online. A lot of people don't have online access. That's another prejudice. And another thing I've noticed with Trilista meetings, with the online money prizes, usually the relatives of whoever works at Trilista win. Don't you think there's something wrong with that? And what I also don't like is, during the Trilista meeting, the Trilista board members or whoever's working for Trilista, again, they waste so much time talking about their own self, their own children. That's a waste of time. That's not right. That is not right. And then there's the city council elections coming up. There's like four or six that will be opened, and I'm running for one of the seats, and I want to run because I'm very, very familiar with the history of Bethel and the region, the healthcare systems, the school systems, and I'm a good listener, I'm a good translator, and usually I listen to both sides, and I don't try to get my, what I believe in the cross, what I believe in is giving informed information. So like from the information that people collect from different individuals, then they can make their own decision. Doa Kuyano.
Okay, thank you, Mary.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I appreciate you calling. Next, we have an anonymous caller from St. Mary's. Good morning, Anonymous. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, thank you. I was just going to throw this idea out there instead of trying to recruit tribal police with the state. They should start working with the federal government to get some federal tribal police here. That's all I want to say.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Federal tribal police.
Yeah, disturbing article last week in ADN about the abuse of that young girl. I think it's relative to what's going on.
Oh, here. Yeah. And then there's a lot of shortages. Mm-hmm. And then I guess it turns out that people can become a VPO without a background check or with ongoing, one person had an ongoing investigation on them. So.
And on the flip side of that, you get federal people in and they're part-time or here 2 weeks and then 2 weeks off and not as engaged with the community. So it's like a double-edged sword. It's probably one of the hardest things to manage on the Delta.
Okay. Next we have Alyssa Rogers. Good morning, Alyssa. Welcome to Talkline from Bethel.
Good morning. Hi. My name is Alyssa Nadine Rogers. I'm from Bethel, Alaska. And I've been working with a group of great folks from across Alaska, including especially here in the Kuskokwim. As of right now, we're Diamond and Gold Working Group. We are a group of people who are working in hopes to get people to come in and help us get the word out where people can put input and give their oppositions, and it's a safe place for people to voice their opinions regardless of your title and who you work for. All your personal information is confidential. So we are putting together a packet that is going out to the villages, and we're hoping that if villages would like to learn about the FEIS from the Dawn Environmental, that we would send out an email for people to respond. If you want us to come out to your community, we have a great biologist from ANIAC named Dave Cannon, who has been doing this for a very long time, and he is more than willing to help out with teaching people what the FEIS is. I sent out an email last week to the villages, and if you guys want more information, you can call me at 907-306-4345. That's my cell phone number. It's 907-306-4345. We are working with Danielle Craven. She just came on board at our last meeting, and she's been working with us since the ONC meeting that they had here in Bethel. And she's going to advise us. So if you want to get a hold of either of us, go ahead and give us a call, and we'll get you connected to the right people. So if you want to be involved in helping us with the Donlin Gold, in opposition of Donlin Gold, please give us a call. We are more than willing and happy to help you out and show you exactly what updated information and where you can voice your opinions at the right time.
So, Alyssa, can I ask you a couple questions to clarify?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so the number that people can call is 306-4345?
Yes.
Okay, and that's you, Alyssa?
Yes.
Okay, and Donlin Gold Working Group, do they have meetings in person?
No, we are from all over the state.
And this is an email group, right?
It's an actual working group, and we meet by teleconference.
Okay.
But we're a small group right now, but we're working on getting out. We're just now starting to get out there and start working. Right now, our main goal is to get the FEIS out there where people can comment, because that's one of the last places that we can comment before everything goes through. And if people want more information, I can email that information out to them. My email address is alyssa.n.
Wait.
Okay, sorry.
Alyssa, because what I'll do is I'll put this on the Talkline Facebook page, because I can sometimes link information that callers
good.
Bring.
Yeah.
So Alyssa, it's Alyssa.
A-L-I-S-S-A.
Go ahead.
Dot N. as in Nadine.
Okay.
Dot Rogers, R-O-G-E-R-S.
Yep.
At gmail.com.
Okay, so they can email you if, or they can call you if they would like more information on being a member of this working group and maybe being able to participate in the teleconferences that happen?
To participate in giving, if you would do input on the FEIS, and right now we're working on getting Dave Cannon out to the villages to meet with tribes to for them to teach them and be able to help them understand the FEIS and how to comment on the FEIS that's going out from Donlin right now.
Okay, great. All right. That's a lot to coordinate, isn't it, for such
yeah.
a big project coming up. But I'm so glad you called, and thank you, and thank you for the work you're doing, and I'll put this together. And as Danielle said, there's a Facebook page called Know Donlin Gold, and maybe it'll get posted there too. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Okay. So now we have from Fish and Wildlife, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Ray Bourne. Good morning, Ray. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call. Just a couple of things today. As a reminder, we do have a fish opener tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. We'd like everybody that wants to catch some fresh fish to get out there and get their fishing in, mm-hmm. and hopefully the weather will be a little cooperative tomorrow. We do have an information line. If anybody wants the latest and updated information, that number is 543-1008. We update that information on a regular basis of what the current opportunities are on federal public lands within Yukon Delta, which starts from Aniak and goes to the Kuskokwim mouth. Mm. We also have information on our web page and our Facebook page as well. So those are ways you can get information and keep up to speed on what's going on with fishing.
Okay.
We also had a discussion on Coffee Talk yesterday about fires, and there was a lot of interest in that. And so kind of a quick update. The Greek Fire, which is 35 miles north of Bethel, is about 446 acres as of yesterday. Doesn't pose any risk to anybody. It's kind of just being monitored right now. So if you see smoke in the north, it's okay. It's not going anywhere. It's surrounded by water, so it shouldn't be a concern over there. Huh. There's also a small fire just north of Baird Inlet on that Anarchuk River. Down there, it's only about a tenth of an acre. It's a lightning strike. We think it's about done. And then the one that popped up yesterday was down in Akong, and it turned out that's about 15 acres right now, and it started at the dump, and it kind of spread out from there into some of the wild lands. And we sent smoke jumpers down there, and they're there helping with that. And that should be pretty much under control at this point in time. Mm-hmm. Anybody wants to report a fire, the number to call is 524-3366, and that will get you right into the fire dispatch for Alaska Fire Service, and they'll get you the quickest response on any kind of fire you may see. If you want more information, we have a public information officer on the Alaska Fire Service staff that handles all that. Her number is 301-0971. So that's the quickest way to get information on fires as well as report a fire. So we're into fire season and fishing, so those are kind of the two big topics as I see it right now.
Okay, and did anyone report to Fish and Wildlife about a moose and baby in Bethel?
Not that I've heard of.
Oh, okay. I heard that. But that's... Hey, I heard there was a moose, and, you know, it sounds like like I heard there was Bigfoot down the street.
Yeah.
I never got a chance to fully thank you, and on behalf of everyone here at the station, for the donuts you brought in yesterday.
Welcome, Grady. Are you still eating them?
Well, no, they were gone by the time I got here this morning.
But, yeah.
Everyone enjoyed them. Thank you.
Okay, and do you happen to be a bird watcher, Ray?
Somewhat, yeah.
Okay, what's an interesting bird you've seen lately?
An interesting bird I've seen lately.
Yeah.
Well,
but you were like, yay, I got to see that, or, oh, good, that's good to see, or something.
I did see, a tundra swan flying over early about 6 o'clock this morning while I was out doing my morning run.
Nice. Okay, good. Because I saw a sandhill crane the other day, and I'm not saying where, because I don't want anyone going out there, because I think there's two, and I think I know where they're going to be nesting, because I knew where they nested one time before. But I heard your sharp intake of breath. Wouldn't that be fun to see?
That'd be awesome. You know, I did see some. I actually went down into the Everglades to see some sandhill cranes.
Wow, the Everglades. Well, you don't have to go that far. They're here.
Right, they're here. I know they're here. I just haven't seen one here yet.
Yes, and it's surprising how close you can get
mm-hmm.
to a sandhill crane. They just kind of slowly motor on down. They don't take flight too quickly, so you can get a good look. Anyway, okay. Well, thank you, Ray, for calling.
Thanks.
And yeah, thank you for your information.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. Okay. We have Alexi from Neboskiak. Hello, Alexi. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning, Neboskiak.
Oh, I'm sorry. I put an S in there. Neboskiak. Sorry.
I'm not from that village.
Okay. Gotcha.
It's Neboskiak.
Neboskiak. Sorry. It was typed.
You made it right. Yeah, you corrected.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, anyway, I'm for that lady that talked about that Donegal.
Yes, what is your view?
I've been fighting for this for I don't know how many years. You know, the river is our garden. It's our, and these fish that goes up every year, these five species or four species that goes up,
mm-hmm.
are renewable resources. Don Gold's not a renewable resource.
No.
Our fish comes every summer to spawn for the next future fish to come up here. And that lady that is, I like that lady. I wish she could leave a number so I could call her. I'm 100%.
I have a number for you.
Her and... If she needs help from Neboskiak, I am the person to talk to. Cause I'll help her anyways to shut that place up there. Because I've been fighting for this for a very long time. Not only that, they brought me to Donegal up there.
Oh, they brought you on the tour. I went on the tour too. Yeah.
No, it wasn't that they said it was a tour, but it wasn't the tour. They talked, you know, they like trying to shut me down
because
I was. I'm very fluent, not in English, but I'm very fluent in Yupik.
Mm.
Very, very fluent, because I was raised by my grandparents.
Alexi, I have a phone number for you, for the woman who called, Alyssa. Would you like that number now? She gave it on air.
Yes, please.
Okay, 306-4345.
Okay, yes, because I'm, now we're fishing for our food for this winter.
Mm-hmm.
And then tomorrow there's going to be more. There's going to be more coming in. They're going to keep coming in more until the silvers are all gone. You know, the kings, chums, and ricks, I think, to me, they seem like they're out there for only like 2 months and they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And we need those fish for our own subsistence. I've been living on the subsistence for all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to protect that river down there because it's our garden, renewable resource,
mm-hmm.
plus the land. It's something that is, if anything happens in that, if it ever starts up there in Donegal, they're going to be discharging a lot of water. Every so many hours, because they're going to be using a lot of water, and they said they're going to treat it. There is no treatable thing for heavy metals. There's going to be a lot of heavy metals that's going to come out if that ever comes up, and they use cyanide, because that cyanide is going to create a lot of heavy metals by the time it extracts the gold. And when it goes into the pit, they said they're going to treat it. It's not a treatable thing. It will not be 100% water. There's going to be contaminations in it. And that contamination is going to hurt the stream and the Kuskokwim River. Once that project starts, they're going to start, they're going to start making pits that tailing pile, they're going to get it ready. But once it starts going, well, you know, it's going to go. Mm-hmm. But if we stop it, it will not. Because once that river is destroyed, it's going to kill all the native people. They're going to have cancers develop. A lot of different cancers will be arising. So, yes, thanks for giving me that number, and as soon as I hang up, I'm going to call her.
Okay.
And thanks for letting me speak.
You're welcome. Call again.
Okay, have a nice day, and have a nice fishing.
Yes. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Alexi.
Bye.
From Napakiak. Okay, next we have Susan on the line. Good morning, Susan. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just letting people know, the monthly food bank is tomorrow, third Saturday of the month, mm-hmm. from 10 until 1 at the Lions Club. And we always need volunteers. They're welcome. They're appreciated. They're needed. We love you. So come volunteer. And we have, if anybody has questions about that big van that just got lowered in front of the Lions Club, that big light blue van,
that is
going to be converted into a big walk-in freezer.
Wow.
And then it's going to have like the bycatch and cod and salmon and fish. We're going to give out that too. Now, it's a work in progress, and it's going to get, you know, so we can have a huger electric bill, because that'll be a freezer. And Tuesday night bingos, Lions Club bingos, so support the electrical costs of that freezer. Play bingo on Tuesday. But anyway, that's going to be a big walk-in freezer, and that'll be added to our food bank monthly, and also in between times we'll have that. You know, it'll be we'll figure it out how to disperse that, and it'll be an awesome project. It's been very successful in other parts of the state, so we're going for it. And it'll help more people, and then there'll be less fish going to waste. And so we're pretty excited about that. That's our latest project. Also, if anyone's wearing glasses, bring your spares to the Saturday market tomorrow. I'll have a collection can there, because we do take old glasses, and they get refurbished and recycled and turned into glasses for people that can't afford them. And that's a global project. Lions Club is a global organization, so this is something going all the way around the world. You don't know where your frames are going to add up after, you know, when they get cleaned and polished and all that, where they're going to end up. But that's another ongoing project we have, is collecting glasses. So the winter shelter is on summer break right now, but when that picks up, that's going to also need help and volunteers, and we'll get the word out and what the needs are on that.
Thank you to the Lions Club for yesterday's donation of cupcakes to the after-school program at the library. Well, actually, not after-school, just the library program. It was very well received. Thank you.
Yeah, Antone made those. He's the Meals on Wheels cook, and the Lions Club is used for Meals on Wheels with ONC. Mm-hmm. And he also joined the Lions Club. He became a member. Him and his wife are members now.
Oh.
And they help at Food Bank also. They're going to make spaghetti tomorrow for Food Bank for people that want to stay and have a meal.
Susan, I'm not trying to correct you specifically. We're going through this transition together. ONC is now OTNC or OTNC. I'm not even sure. It's O-T-N-C.
Well, I remember you saying that on the radio the other day.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I saw a whole bunch of ONC hats and T-shirts, so they're going to have to really change a lot of things.
I don't even know the full story, but I think I'm going to have Janessa in on Monday to
and
tell me.
And I park next to an ONC vehicle, so it's going to be
they're changing their name. Yeah. What was the T stand for?
Again, I'm.
I see.
I can't
it's
fully
technical
correct.
Or
I don't, yeah, I don't
okay.
Wanna, I don't
maybe.
Wanna,
well, it's Thunder? Probably a Yupik name.
Know.
Yeah, it's probably. Okay.
Some long Yupik name. I don't know. Well, yeah, that's going to be a long process, because they still got. It's like I'm a member of the VFW Auxiliary. It used to be the VFW Ladies Auxiliary, but now it's VFW Auxiliary. And all the different things that said Ladies Auxiliary, we're replacing that one at a time. So you're still going to see Ladies Auxiliary in some of this stuff, but it'll eventually become VFW Auxiliary, because on a national level, it's males and females are members. So it's hard to change the name of something when the logo and the old name is on everything you have. But so good luck with OTNC or whatever they're going to call themselves. All right. Thanks, and have a happy Friday.
Don't forget to be awesome, Susan.
You too. You're awesome already. Okay.
Oh,
bye.
Okay. Here we go. All right. So Petra has an email she's going to read for us. Thank you, Petra.
Nikki Pollock with Rotsa Ramut Traditional Native Council, or OTNC, wants to remind the community for the Elder Abuse Awareness Walk, and it's happening this morning. The walk starts at 11:45 a.m., and please arrive by 11:30 a.m.
And that's arrive at the Lions Club. The Rec Center. Teen Center.
Oh, I had it wrong, right?
The Lions Club.
Oh, the Lions Club. Mm-hmm. Oh, you had it wrong.
I had it right. Lions Club.
Lions Club.
Is it 10:30 or 11?
11:30. Be there at 11:30, starts at 11:45. Lions Club 2YK.
And Petra can read that name again, because we were just talking about the change in name, and there was...
Oh, there it was.
Can you read us the name, ONC's mm-hmm. new name for us?
Rotsa Ramut Traditional Native Council.
So Traditional Native Council.
Oh, OTNC. They've added traditional. Okay, great. Okay, good. Okay, so it looks like... I think we have an anonymous call, but the font is very small. But good morning. Welcome to Talkline.
Morning.
Good morning.
How come I have a question? How come Fishing Game is playing with us Eskimos? How come everybody gotta go down like it's commercial time? Our native pride are all gone now. We're run by Fish and Game. Look at that Donlin Creek, too. How our future grandchildren's gonna eat. Look what happened to Nyack. They dump it. No more money. Money talks for white people. Not for us Eskimos. We live from the nature food. We don't go... When I go store, go check for meat. $30-$40 meat. Around here, we want nature food. Not white man. We don't get no food from white man food. Bye.
Okay. Thank you, Anonymous. He was clear and to the point on a couple of things. Next, we have Mr. Hoffman, Robert Hoffman from Bethel. Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call finally.
You're welcome.
Okay.
I know.
Okay. I just wanted to let somebody know or you know, the state of Alaska has allocated us a couple openings of fishing so far. One last week and one tomorrow. You know, there's so little bit openings. The state should at least let us go fish with the proper equipment. You know, I'm a fisherman. I'm 66 years old. I've been fishing this Kuskokwim all my life. June, we fish kings. July, we fish chums. And August, we fish silvers all my life. And it's still that way. You know, and somebody has figured out that system for us and seems like it's not the way it's supposed to be. At least since the openings are so few for us, at least the state should allow us to use the proper gear for the proper month for the subsistence that we all cry about, or we shouldn't be crying about subsistence. The state is in control of everything. Now there's no subsistence. I want to ask that guy down there in the Pontiac, if my river down here was our garden, how come every day I go down there and the doors are locked? I can't even go in. Ask that man from the Pontiac, if that's our garden out there, how come the state locks the door every day? And when they do open it, they let us fish with improper gear. I just wanted the people to know that we also know what's going on, too. You know, we know. But we're not in charge. We cry about Don and Gold. It never even started yet. And the doors to my garden in the Kuskokwim River are locked every day. Until the state opens the door once or twice a summer and lets us use the improper equipment. Like I said, June, July, and August, three fishing different months, three different species of fish.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Hey, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad you called. Okay, so next we have Fritz Charles. Good morning, Fritz. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning, Diane. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, had better days.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Well, no, it's nothing important. Anyways, I got a couple of topics. Hopefully I'll get the same treatment as that lady that was on for about 20 minutes.
Okay, now that was a senator. I mean, give me a break on that.
anyways,
but go ahead,
First off, to correct Robert Hoffman there, this river right now is under federal management. It's got nothing to do with fish and game right now. And, you know, it's instead of bickering about it over the radio, what's going to get done over the radio if you're just talking about it? You know, we might post some stuff on Facebook and complain about it. Is it going to get done? No. Everybody out here in the YK Delta and in the state of Alaska, they need to start taking action. Instead of posting stuff or bickering about it online, start taking action. Start going to meetings. Robert knows very well as anybody else, complaining about something over the radio ain't going to help nothing. Nothing. Not one cent. There's working group meetings that are open to the public. There's Intertribal Fish Commission. I can't speak for them, but I'm pretty sure their doors are open. And there's a call-in show for Intertribal Fish Commission weekly at 10 a.m. that anybody can listen to. Start going to meetings. Make something happen. Make a difference instead of bickering about it on KYUK or the talk line. Nothing's going to get done. And people that complain about Mike Williams, he's the only voice that's known at Washington, D.C. Anybody else is just, I say that very broadly, ABCP, ONC, all the tribal government, they're not making any efforts to stop Donlin Gold, to get our permanent fund dividends back, or whatever. This also includes the welfare people. You know, you guys might have 15, 20 kids now, but 20 years from now, there's going to be no more welfare, no more food stamp, no more Medicaid, no more denial of care, no more hand-me-outs. Everybody's going to have to start fending for themselves. Get a job. Quit being drunk. And then coming to meetings to Bethel or Anchorage or anywhere in the state of Alaska, if you can afford a jug to buy here in Bethel, you can definitely afford a round-trip ticket to attend the meeting here in Bethel or in Anchorage or anywhere else. That's what I told my on my last call-in show, not this last one, but the previous month. That's what I told them. If you're able to buy a jug or a bootleg bottle, you can definitely come to Bethel and attend meetings in person or Chalista meetings. And where's ABCP on this, on Donlin Gold? Why did Chalista open it to begin with? Like I said before, what consists of a Chalista board member? If they disagree with Andrew Guy will fire him. Huh. We've seen it done. It's just the exact same scenario as Matthew Nicolai.
Okay.
They're just puppets. That's all I have to say. Thank you, Diane.
All right. Hope you have a better day. Next, we have another anonymous caller. Good morning. Welcome to Talkline, Anonymous. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello. Are you you're the anonymous?
This is not anonymous. This is Nikki with ONC Senior Services.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Hey, and I was calling just to remind everybody, people are already arriving at the Lions Club as we speak to demonstrate their support for Elder Abuse Awareness Day, which is today, June 15th. If you could take some time out of your afternoon, can you please come down to the Lions Club and hold a sign, walk with us from the Lions Club, which is across the Cultural Center, to the hospital and back, to raise awareness to prevent elder abuse. And that's going on right now. We will begin walking in about 15 minutes at 11:45. So in about 20 minutes, I'm sorry. So if people could, make their way down to the Lions Club, mm-hmm. We're here ready for everybody with signs. So hope to see everybody's smiling faces.
Great. Thank you for calling and reminding us about that. It's important.
Absolutely.
Very important Absolutely. Topic.
Thank you so much, and have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Okay. Next, we have Peter. Good morning, Peter. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning. I'd like to congratulate Elena Nicole Jacobs on her becoming a valedictorian over at the Galena Learning Academy, and she obtained her pilot's license.
Wow.
And when she graduates, she's planning on going over to UAA and becoming a wildlife biologist. So she might come here and maybe straighten things out, hopefully.
Yeah, that's great. Good. Yeah, I'm glad.
She's the late granddaughter of James Manwili from the Pontiac, and her late mother is Evelyn, and her late papa is Peter Jacob Sr.
Oh,
congratulations,
wow.
Elena.
Congratulations. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Okay. Wow, there's been just kind of a flurry of different kind of calls. Donlin, D.C. politics and how some of those appropriations may benefit us in the long run.
Upriver, downriver,
yeah.
Concerns about
yeah.
fish openers.
I was going to mention one thing that's really costly in rural Alaska is the internet. And the clinics, because they go toward telemedicine now and telehealth, and those require, broadband, and which they have in the clinics, but it's very expensive. So I know that's something that would be good to have dealt with out in the rural Alaska.
Yeah, the news on the street is the FCC held back payments to subsidies in favor of reviewing the bills. So the clinics have been keeping up with their bills on their end, which is like $200,000 of another $800,000 out there for the FCC to pay for.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's what's held up right now. The FCC wants to look into the billing practices of the internet service providers to make sure that they're not getting fleeced for their buck.
Gotcha.
But on the other end, if you don't pay the bill, guess what they do?
Yeah.
Cut off the service.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. I didn't know any of that. Okay, good to know. All right, we have another caller, Yvonne Waska. Good morning, Yvonne. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning, people from the White Sea Delta.
Yes, you are talking to everyone right now.
Yeah, thanks to KYK and the Talk Show.
And we have about a minute.
We give our opinions, good and bad, and it's also helpful. And but anyway, on goal, we go to meetings, still they're going ahead with it. They speed it up. What burns me up more, state fishing game feds, they welcome development, even on the Pepper Mine over there at Bristol Bay, and where they want to open up offshore drilling.
Yep.
What kind of fishing game is that?
Okay, well, that's the way we're going to end the show, is what kind of fishing game is that? Welcome. Thank you, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week.